You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
All right, hello everyone and welcome to Believe in Phillies. This is now our eighth episode. I'm James Biernot, as always joined by Mike Lieberthal. And Mike, what a fun weekend that was. Phillies sweep the Padres and now find themselves at 19-10 on a four-game winning streak. How are you feeling after that one?
Yeah, great weekend for the Phillies. Obviously, they're coming off playing not the greatest of teams. They're kind of getting hot. The bats weren't really there at the beginning of the season, but the pitching was, and now kind of everything's coming together. Almost like the full lineup now is coming together. Everybody knows Alec Bohm is actually on fire. But not only him, and now in the fourth spot in the lineup, you have other guys that are starting to get better at bats, starting to hit. It's just great to see. It's great to see them score runs, and they're scoring runs early. Yeah. So anytime you're an opposing team and you're down by three or four runs and you're only in the third inning, you're going to be into a struggle for nine. So it's good to see that they're putting up runs on the board early in the games.
Absolutely. So we'll do a little breakdown of the Padres series. Game one was a 9-3 victory. Five players homered. We talked a little bit before this series about they weren't really hitting the long ball as much. Some guys like Schwarber and Harper were, but five players homered in that game. Schwarber and Harper, as well as Marsh, Cassidy, and JT. Nola gave them eight strong. Game two was a 5-1 victory, a battle of two of the best pitchers in the National League, Suarez and C. Suarez definitely had the better outing. Eight innings of one-run ball, only three hits, no walks. Bohm hit a monster two-run homer and had himself four RBIs. And then in game three, an 8-6 victory, Stott had two homers. Realmuto had another homer. Another three-hit game for Alec Bohm. Taiwan was all right in his first start. We did see him for 90 pitches and six in the third, so that was promising to see. But kind of transitioning into who's hot, Alec Bohm at the moment on a 12-game hitting streak. And usually when a guy's on a 12-game hitting streak, definitely you'll see their batting average rise. But for him, during this 12-game hitting streak, he's hitting .521. He has 10 doubles. 8 out of 12 of those games have been multi-hit games. And during this 12-game streak, he leads the MLB in RBIs, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, and wins above replacement. So with how Alec Bohm's been this season, one of the best hitters, not just in the National League, but the entire MLB, and recently even better. So, Mike, can you just talk about how excellent and fantastic and consistent Alec Bohm has been recently?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's hitting everything hard to all fields, driving the ball. He has, he's just been on fire. I mean, he's getting pitches to hit. Series going forward, I know other teams are going to be looking at him a lot. They're going to be running those fastballs in on him. They're going to be throwing sliders away. He's probably going to walk a little bit more. I just hope he stays patient, waits for his pitch, and just take those walks as they come, because it's going around the league. He's hot, and everybody knows it. Everybody sees the averages. So it's great to see. Obviously, him and Trey Turner were kind of carrying that lineup for a little while. Now you kind of got other guys that are really producing at the bottom half of the lineup. Even Castellanos is having great at-bats. He had that home run in the series. He walked three times yesterday. He's being more patient. He's not swinging at that ball out of the zone as much. So that's good to see. Bryson Stott, he was a guy that was really getting pounded inside with fastballs, late on fastballs, rolling over on off-speed. Finally, he actually had a fastball that was kind of middle in to in yesterday, and he turned on it for a home run. He hit his first home run on a kind of a hanging breaking ball, but it was good to see him come alive. JT Realmuto is absolutely crushing everything inside. Do not throw JT middle in. He's going to hit it hard. So he's had that long home run. He had a couple home runs, and it's good to see him, his bat get going. Like I said, and it's like even Harper, he didn't really hit well this series, but he didn't really need him. I mean, they scored a lot of runs. I know he struggled for him a little bit for this series, but, you know, as soon as he comes alive, Schwarber too, I love the lineup now that top to bottom, everybody's starting to come along. You have Alec Bohm and Trey Turner kind of carrying the load at the top.
Absolutely, yeah. So when we're talking about who's hot, obviously Bohm. We wanted to talk about JT, like you just mentioned. Good to see him. He had two homers and a double, as well as five RBIs this series. Stott had the two-homer game in game three. But looking past the offense, because they were fantastic, the pitching staff too. Game one, Nola gave them 8 strong. Game two, Ranger Suarez again pitching really well. Game three, Taiwan maybe not as great, but still good to see him get some good innings in. And Ranger Suarez this year now, 6 starts, he's 5-0. He has a 1.32 ERA and an MLB-leading 0.634 whip. He's not letting anyone on base. No one's scoring on him. And Ranger just looks like one of the best pitchers in baseball right now.
Yeah, of course, you know, from Ranger, like I said before, he's pounding that ball inside for strikes on right-handers. He's throwing the ball inside on left-handers for strikes. He's got that great curveball, that slow curve, to keep him honest. He's throwing that for strikes. His changeup, it seems like every pitch is working well, but he is pounding that ball inside for strikes, and I think that's the key for him. So it's good to see another game, 8 innings pitched, I think. And Nola's got that comeback fastball for control on both sides of the plate to lefties and righties on that side of the plate. So he's throwing a good curveball down in the zone. He's even throwing cutters. You know, he throws maybe 3 or 4 a game, but it seems like he's throwing more cutters now to right-handers, which is good to see. His changeup, he's getting confidence. I mean, it's nice pitching with a 4 or 5 run lead early in the game. You can kind of relax, you use all your pitches, and it just seems like that's what Nola is doing. He's using more cutters, more changeups in situations, and he's running deep into the game. Love to see it. Love to see, just really the whole rotation pitching well.
Absolutely. And the biggest thing for the Phils this year, too, we talked about how good their rotation was to start the season. And a lot of people thought, well, you know, everyone gets off to hot starts sometimes. But they have continued that, lowering the rotation ERA this series to 2.36. And their starters, too, this is a stat I love to look at, Mike. I'm a stat guy. 6 innings plus per start on average from their rotation. Suarez almost averaging 7 innings per start. Nola's going deep into games. Wheeler's going deep into games. And I think this series we're going to see some more of that. We'll talk about them in a little bit. One thing for Who's Cold, really everyone in the lineup looked good. Everyone had a hit this series. They hit 300 as a team during this series. But Bryce Harper had the homer in game one and then goes 1 for 12 the rest of the series. With that, you talked about a little bit before we started recording, you didn't love what you saw from Harper yesterday. So can you talk a little bit about that and maybe why he's been struggling of late?
Yeah, I mean, it just looked like he was swinging at not his pitches early in the zone. He was getting jammed on balls that were inside or really taking weak swings. He just didn't have a good game yesterday.
Yeah.
So it looked like he was a little frustrated. I don't know if that play at first base where he kind of bent his wrist back a little bit, if that bothered him. It was just one of those series where, you know, he was the one guy in the lineup that really wasn't getting on base or hitting. So it was just, you know, but he's one guy you're not really worried about going into this Angel series.
Absolutely, yeah. So talking now about the Angels series, a little Angels series preview. They are not having a good season right now, really, on either side of the ball. 10-18 as a team. And then breaking down, it's going to be a 3-game set, game one tonight. Chris Sanchez on the mound this year, a 2.96 ERA. Still no home runs allowed, which is something I love to see from him. I think for him, it's going to be limiting the base runners. Taking on Griffin Canning, a guy who's had success in the past, but a 7.50 ERA this year, so not great. Game two is going to be Turnbull. Obviously, we know how good Turnbull's been this year through his first 6 starts. Taking on Tyler Anderson, who has been the Angels' ace this year, 1.78 ERA for Anderson. So that could be a good pitching duel. And then game three, it's going to be Zach Wheeler, the ace of this team, although really seems like they have more than one aces in this staff. Taking on Patrick Sandoval, who has a 6.33 ERA and a 1-4 record. So looking at the pitching matchups, are you confident that this lineup can keep rolling against them?
Yeah, I mean, for Sanchez, you're looking at how consistent he is at throwing inside to right-handers, getting ahead of the count, and using that nasty split change or whatever it is, the change split. It was a little off his last game, kind of got behind in counts. His changeup wasn't as effective, but it is a nasty pitch. If he gets ahead of the count, you're looking at a successful game for Sanchez. As far as Turnbull, just how many deep counts will he get into? I mean, if he gets ahead of the count too, he's got that cutter, that slider, that sweeper that he's been using a lot. His sinker's been very effective. So, like I said, he can get kind of deep in counts and get behind in counts, and that's when he gets in trouble. But I look for him to also hopefully get ahead and have a huge strikeout game, which he's very capable of doing. So it's going to be interesting to see these two starts going forward. Both guys have been pitching well. And, you know, you have kind of a weak lineup in the Angels. I'm sure they'll be staying away from Trout a little bit with his all his home runs. But besides that, they haven't been hitting the ball very well for the Angels. And I'm looking forward to hopefully another sweep.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So talking a little bit about this Angels team, obviously the first time we're seeing them is they continue this kind of West Coast trip. The Angels right now, a 5.53 bullpen ERA, not a good sign for them. And they're hitting .237 as a team, which is also not good. But they do have some guys in the lineup who are hitting well. Obviously, Mike Trout, 10 home runs on the season, which is great for them. Logan Ohapi, their young catcher, hitting .293. Luis Rengifo hitting .289. He's their second baseman. And Joe Adell, a guy who they've been waiting to break out. He was one of their former top prospects. I believe he was the number two pick a few years ago. Finally hitting for them, .327, as well as Taylor Ward, 23 RBIs on the year for him. So those are some guys to look out for. But coming into this series, after the Padres sweep, the Phillies hit .300 in that series. They had 33 hits. 17 of them were for extra bases, 9 home runs. They slugged .600 as a team. So this is a team that is red hot with the bats coming in to face an up and down Angels staff. Really hasn't been great, and a bullpen that has been struggling all year. So, Mike, I think I'm pretty confident in what the Phillies can do here and just keep rolling.
Yeah, there's one thing that we haven't really touched on. It's obviously we've touched on pitching. We've touched on how well the Phillies have been hitting. But what about their defense? Their defense has been outstanding.
Yeah.
From Rojas in center field, those catches he's been making against the wall. I think Alec Baum at third base has been great. Turner's been great at shortstop. Obviously, Harper's been good at first. I mean, all around defense has been unbelievable. And we don't talk about the speed. Phillies have a lot of speed on the bases with Rojas and Turner it just seems like, you know, throughout the lineup, we're dangerous on the bases. Even JT can steal a base. So it's just, you got pitching, you have defense, you have speed, and you have hitting. I mean, what else do you want right now that's not working for the Phillies? So it's great to see. And it's kind of tough when a team comes in that's struggling, for the Angels that are struggling, for a team that's hot for the Phillies. So let's hopefully we can get some two more good pitching performances going into Wheeler.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit later in the series about some rotation implications based on who's been pitching well. And, you know, at the moment, the Phillies are working with a six-man staff. That's the option that Thompson went. He could have gone Sanchez, Wheeler, Nola this series, but decides not to, giving everyone an extra day of rest and slotting Turnbull in there. There was some discussion over whether Turnbull would remain in the rotation. We both agreed that he probably should. Give him more opportunities. He's been pitching incredibly well this year, so that should be good to see. And looking a little bit around the National League, Phillies are still a game and a half back on the Braves, which is a little frustrating for them based on how hot they've been. Really, they had two series sweeps, split with the Reds, and then coming into this series, swept the Padres. So a really big series for them against the Angels, and then heading home to face off against the Giants, who are having an up-and-down year. I think an opportunity for them to keep pace with the Braves, if not pass them at some point. They do have the first wild card spot in the National League. The Cubs are a game and a half back on them. And then the Reds right now hold the third wild card spot. Obviously, we've seen them. So, Mike, with another good series here and maybe continuing that back at home against the Giants, do you think there's a good chance the Phillies could pass the Braves at some point soon?
Yeah, I mean, you knew the Braves were going to get off to a good start. They have a great team. They have a great offensive team. They're going to keep it up throughout the season. And the Phillies knew that they had to get off to a good start this year. You don't want to be that wild card team. You're obviously at a disadvantage going into the playoffs. They played well in the playoffs as a wild card, but you want to win the division. That's the key. But, you know, the Braves are going to be there at the end. So, you know, if the Phillies keep playing like they have been, you know, it's unfortunate that they don't play the Braves as many times, you know, in the series this year as they did in previous years. But, you can't look right now. It's too early in the season. I mean, obviously, you know, the Braves are going to keep playing well. You just got to worry about yourself. The health of the team is it's great. So it's you're just taking it series by series and just keep it rolling.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Braves did lose Strider early in the year, and maybe we thought, oh, this could be an opportunity for the Phillies to pass them. But really, they've found guys who have been having a lot of success. Ronaldo Lopez, someone they brought in this offseason, who's been a reliever most of his career, but he's made four really good starts for them and only allowed two runs over those four starts. So he's been dangerous. And even Acuna hasn't really been great this year, but you have guys like Ozzie Albies who are raking the ball. Travis d'Arnaud's been hitting really well, getting more opportunities with Sean Murphy being hurt, as well as Marcelo Zuna, nine home runs, 31 RBIs on the year. He's been great. So it'll really be interesting to see how this plays out. And then taking it behind the dish with Mike Lieberthal. First off, I want to talk about Taijuan Walker. Comes back from the injury. We saw him yesterday, 6 1/3 innings. He got up to 90 pitches, which was interesting to see. Thompson didn't pull him earlier. He did allow the 6 runs. So what did you see, Mike, from Taijuan in his first start back?
Yeah, I mean, I liked how he used all his pitches. I mean, he used from his curveball to his cutter, slider, sinker, straight fastball. Obviously, his split that he literally goes to, I think, 50% of the time last year. It was almost like a fastball split guy. And it looked like he used all of his pitches. He worked the, you know, I think he had like 3 strikeouts in a row at one point. You know, he's going to rely on location. He wasn't throwing very hard. The balls that... I mean, there was a lot of balls that were hit hard off him that were even for outs, besides a couple home runs that were hit off him. The home runs were mistakes. I think it was a changeup that was not too bad and a cutter that was kind of over the plate. But, you know, he'll be successful if he's on the corners of the plate and getting ahead of the count. I just liked how he worked deep in the game. He did use all of his pitches. He's a workhorse, you know, he wants to be that fifth guy that you can count on every, you know, fifth day, not get into too much trouble, maybe give up 2 or 3 runs and keep the team in the game. I like the way he saw it. It was his first start. I mean, it's not like he's, you know, he's not going to throw 94, 95. He's capable of, you know, maybe after 4 or 5 starts, he was throwing more like 91. I think he was, you know, it wasn't like a really hard fastball. So I have to rely on his location for the first couple starts for now.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing to touch on here, well, two things really, with these two next starts, they're pretty key for both Sanchez and Turnbull. I don't think the Phillies are going to go with the 6-man rotation the rest of the way. Obviously that gives them an advantage of staying healthy, but you have guys like Wheeler and Nola who you do want to see on every fifth day, same with Suarez. So if Turnbull or Sanchez are able to be really good again, that'll definitely be a good mark for them to probably stay in the rotation. But if some of those guys run into problems, I will say a number I'm looking at is Sanchez, a 1.4 whip. He's allowing a good amount of base runners. He's done a good job holding them and not allowing a lot of guys to score. But hopefully the Angels, I mean, they have some guys, but not a ton. So if Sanchez can limit that and Turnbull can really be efficient and not let his pitch count get too high early, I think we could see two really good outings from them. And then aside from that, too, we talked a little bit all year, but recently the bullpen's been good. And in this series, we didn't get to see a lot of the bullpen, which is sometimes a good thing. Nola went deep into the game. Suarez went deep into the game. But when we did see guys in the pen, Seranthony was scoreless. Hoffman was scoreless. Marte was scoreless. And so was Alvarado getting the save in the game yesterday. And with Ricardo Pinto being designated for assignment with Taiwan's return, there's really not a guy in that bullpen who you don't trust anymore. I mean, Soto and Seranthony have been shaky at times, but Mike, can you talk about how this bullpen now shapes up, especially with Kirkering being back, and he's been really good recently, and just what you're seeing from them?
Yeah, it's kind of tough, all these starters going deep in games. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, Kirkering may not get in there for a week. You never know. And like you said, it was with Brito, where he came in for a high-pressure situation yesterday in the 8th inning, was it, right? And And Seranthony, was nice to see him come in to throw an inning after – you know, days before he couldn't find his fastball. He was all over the place. Came in, he looked good. Slider looked good. He was throwing strikes. So that was good to see. I mean, obviously Hoffman, he seems like he's up every day. You know, anytime it's a close game, Hoffman, he's going to be throwing a lot of innings. And he's always looked sharp. He's looked great. Alvarado, you never know too, because if he hasn't thrown in a while, how many strikes is he going to throw? He gets in trouble when he throws, when he gets behind, he throws a lot of balls. His fastball cuts too much but he came in yesterday throwing strikes. He looked great. It just seems like, I mean, their bullpen is really came into the season as their strength of the team. You knew that they were going to have a good bullpen. They kind of got off to a shaky start in the first week or two, but everybody looks pretty good now. And so it was nice to see Seranthony, though, get in there, and he looked good for that inning.
Absolutely. So from Mike and I, that's really all we had for you today. Not a lot to talk about on the negative side, a lot to talk about on the positive side, especially with guys like Alec Bohm and Ranger Suarez having unbelievable seasons and have been red hot. Bohm, 9 hits in the 4-game series against the Reds. You follow that up with 8 hits in the series against the Padres, and he's red hot. You said they probably will pitch around him a little bit, but it'll be really interesting to see how they do in Anaheim against the Angels. It'll be a 3-game set starting tonight. But for Mike and I, thank you so much for listening in to episode 8. Mike, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, anytime, James. Excited for this Angel series.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.